everybody, welcome back from our break. This is episode part two for I Will Survive. And we are having a great time. It's Grey's Academy. Everyone's great. I had a treat. I had apple pie and ice cream.
Yo, nice.
Brought my water bottle in, so this time I won't be dying of thirst. Refreshing.
Nice.
And now we will start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode of Living in Shondaland is brought to you by Patreon. Patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. Join the Patreon.
Our Patreon, all our extra specifically, content. Not all of Patreon.
Yes, it's brought to you by our Patreon. Thank you for that explicit edit. And
there
also
are
for a drink.
Two people. Ooh, what you drinking? Is that an Izzy?
Show is.
Which one?
Sparkling strawberry.
Ooh, delightful. Sounds crispy.
It is. I couldn't find my water bottle, and I didn't want to keep you waiting.
Let me tell you, I went to Costco today. Every time I think I know how Costco is laid out, those motherfuckers are like, we're bored. We're going to change it.
Oh, I flipped the whole damn building. I walked into the freezer section through their doors the other day. Walked into the door, and I was in the freezer. Crazy.
Yeah. Eggs are expensive again for probably a reason, but to my knowledge, no reason. And so I told my mom I would get her a dozen eggs there because it's way cheaper. And they were out. They only had the hella expensive like blue farm fresh heirloom eggs or some shit.
Oh.
I was like, well, that's more expensive than the regular store eggs, so that's not helpful. And
yeah, we have to buy bulk
eggs.
And
I couldn't find toilet. I mean, I get my eggs at Costco normally. I just get the regular ones because they're cheaper and it's 24s because I'm like cooking. Like I eat fried eggs. I eat scrambled eggs. Bennett likes scrambled eggs. Scarlett, hit or miss. And I also like bake a lot with it. Like I make brownies and stuff. And so, yeah. Anyways, and then I couldn't find the toilet paper, which was like the one other thing I went there for. Like they didn't have it. And I was like, you guys, come on. I need some paper.
My doomsday mom was like, there's a dock strike. You need to stock up on everything.
This is the issue, is that people, it's just like COVID, right? Yeah. Right before COVID when there was no toilet paper, because for some reason people were like, I've decided there will be no toilet paper. Like yeah. There would have been, it would have been fine if everyone would just shut the fuck up and just behave normally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't understand why the concept of you can't leave your house for 2 weeks means you're going to be
explosive diarrhea
like,
every day.
I just like never got the connection of like how much time are you shitting at work that you need that much toilet paper at home?
Here's the thing. At home, the second you wake up in the morning, you shit your pants and you just sit on the toilet for 12 to 14 hours and then
That's
you go
so
to
interesting,
bed.
As someone who mostly works from home, I don't do that. I just cannot believe I've been doing it all wrong. Okay,
or maybe
anyways.
You've been pooping and didn't even know it.
Oh, but then why would I need the toilet paper? You know what I mean?
Well, someone has to clean you up when you're asleep.
Oh, well.
So maybe it's the opposite.
That's
maybe
marriage.
You're a sleep pooper.
Maybe that's why I sleep so terribly, because I sleep like poop because I'm pooping. Mm. Anyways, this is delightful. There are two people for Shondaland.
Lebu and Bona Ibona
Abina. It's neither of them. Neither of them.
Is it the dude with a tree in his lungs?
No.
Is it the kid whose dad has trees in his lungs?
No.
Is it the wife of a dude who has a tree in his lung? And then is the other one the social worker interviewer?
Yes. Good job. So Toni Torres is Annette, who is the wife, and she was in 3 episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. She was a detective.
Ah, okay.
And then Janora McDuffie, incredible name, was the social worker, and she was in 1 episode of Scandal.
Okay.
That is Shondaland for this week.
I love it. And thank you, to the Grey's Academy Patreon for sponsoring this episode. Oh, you're welcome, Carmen. It was a really great time to be here. Oh, we love you. Thank you so much.
Have you watched the second Inside Out yet?
Yes. Great movie.
we need to talk about it because I have a lot of feelings and only some of them are positive.
You didn't like it?
I just, as someone who lives with like diagnosed and medicated anxiety, I felt like the implication was anxiety makes you a bad person. And I don't love that message. And I don't think that's the story they were trying to tell, but I think it got lost in the story they were trying to. And there were, let me say this about anxiety. There were some things that they did perfectly. I thought showing her having the anxiety attack was so well done. I thought showing like the inside of the brain during the anxiety attack was so well done. I just like, there's a lot of it. Maybe we'll do when we do our Pixar Patreon, but like, we've watched it like three times now and I have just like, I'm like, maybe I'm reading too much into it as someone who lives with anxiety, but I was like, I feel like it's also a very different anxiety than the kind of anxiety I have. So like, it's just, there's nuance to it. I don't think it was bad. It was very good. I don't think it was as good as the first one, but
no, the
there
first
were
one
a
was,
lot
was
of
really
funny parts. The sarcasm fucking killed me.
Yeah. Boredom.
Sarcasm.
Oh yeah.
Oh, ennui.
Yeah, the sarcasm. Yeah, I outwardly chuckled at that one. Yeah. I think their whole point was that anxiety unchecked with other emotions can grow into something that can be bad. I think that was the whole point. Because in the beginning, again, this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. But like the beginning, the first couple of things, like anxiety was like, oh yeah, look at how cool that was. Like we're in with that cool hockey player. Val.
I will say this. I love that they chose to make it just about fitting in general and not specifically about like a relationship or like a boy or something, but just like a general, like large life transition and fitting in. Like I like that path a lot.
Yeah. I think it was, well done,
we'll
I hear you
about it. We'll have to talk about it, but yeah. Okay. So should we talk about Christina and Owen and Teddy and April and well, not really only kind of Teddy, but April and the chief resident situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this episode opens with Owen being like, I don't understand. And Christina says, two words, no sex. And he goes, I just feel like there should be more words.
I agree.
So funny. And I see her point. But I also see where it could maybe not accomplish what she wants it to accomplish. So she's like, no sex until you've decided. Cause let's like, you know, let's take this relationship out of it and just be like, you know, peers, coworkers, whatever. So you can choose me for chief resident, which at the end of the day, I'm interested to hear your take on this because, like, I said it before, I don't like Owen, but I think he's very right, and I think he, like, articulates it very well.
Yeah, well, the first
about
thing I want
to say... About why she shouldn't be chief resident.
Yeah. The first thing I want to say is when she says, today, I'm not your naked and desirable wife, and when she says, this hurts me more than it hurts you, and he goes, no, it doesn't, and she's like, yeah, you're right. Just very funny, just some good comedic timing in the opening of this episode. And then, so let's fast forward to the particular point that you're talking about here. So it's very mirrored to when Weber originally was not giving Bailey the chief resident job and gave it to Callie, right? Callie got it over Bailey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if you're going to be a general surgeon attending, you gotta just be in there.
Well, he said, if you're going to be me.
Right. Chief of surgery someday. You gotta really get your shit together. Mm-hmm. That storyline in particular seems to have fallen off. I still predict that Bailey one day will be chief of surgery. Maybe.
I maybe predict that.
So it felt a little bit reminiscent of that. What he said was right. It was a nice moment where I wish he wasn't yelling it. It maybe he could have delivered it a bit more calmly. Not that she was receiving it well either, though. Where he was actually saying the right thing. He's like, look, you you're going to be miserable. You, this person who is chief resident, needs to be able to operate inside of these guidelines that you have shown me in all of season 7, episode 21 that you're incapable of doing.
Yeah.
And also, not
and
to
also
mention
most of your career.
Yeah, your entire time in this TV show world. So that's why I do think it is going to be April. Ultimately, she clearly loves the rules. The thing that will be a challenge is, like, she doesn't have the full respect of all the people, but I think she would, you know, have to crack the whip, I guess. Just like really one rough day, one rough hour where they're just really hard on the people who work there. No?
Yeah.
Not getting that reference? Did you get my reference?
No.
Okay, never mind. It's a political thing. Donald Trump was saying that he would initiate like all the police to just go crazy for one rough hour.
Oh, yeah. No, the
all
purge.
Crime would
like,
stop.
Obviously, yeah, like okay. A really good idea that has... Yeah. Like, for sure, never had it. That would be like if he got up there and was like, also, we should definitely have a theme park full of dinosaurs. Because, like, why would we not do that?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the same kind of suggestion.
Right.
So,
I think Owen did a good job articulating it. I think she ultimately recognizes that. It's just a bummer that also in that storyline, she's, like, more pissing off Teddy. She's pissing off Teddy more. And now Weber's involved, and he's like, oh, I'll make sure Owen hears about this. You know, like, and then April's like, sorry, we were friends 2 seconds ago, but I had to rat you out. So what I do think is a bit of a challenge for me is they're making it sound like Chief Resident is a punishment to someone who's good at surgery. So, like, could you have both? Who knows? I don't know. So you have to choose.
Really,
are you good at
like,
the clerical
really
side of things, or are you really good surgeon?
Like the way they paint Chief Resident as like this huge like honor and big deal, but then also as something that like pulls you away from being a surgeon and is annoying. And again, based on my real world research, there's no extra money. So I don't fucking know. And again, from my dad's take when he worked in his previous hospital, it was basically like it just gets assigned and then someone is really annoyed until it gets assigned to the next person. Like that person is annoyed that they have extra work until it gets assigned to someone new. Like no one's fighting over it. It just gets assigned to somebody.
They also had a competition in Scrubs about it and they made a whole joke that
obviously
to $8 on a paycheck.
For any show, like, it makes sense because it's going to create drama. It's going to create conflict. And that's, like, what we watch television for. But, it just kind of feels like the reality of it is less. So I agree. If you were just looking at them all on paper, that April definitely is, like, you know, she's very, like, the type A. But not type A about the surgery, type A about just, like, the organization aspect. And, like, yes, I have to follow the rules. And, like, that's not blah, 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 whatever. Let me make a checklist for everything. But I also see, like, where Christina's coming from, like, oh, well, it's going to be Meredith. Because...
Well, she is the one who the show is about.
I was literally about to say, because, you know, she's the title character. I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm sitting, they failed at painting this as a desirable position.
Yeah. Yeah. Also focusing on April for a second, when we first get introduced and she's walking with Hunt to like
through
show him
checklist.
The checklist. Mm-hmm. There's like one part of her hair that's just like,
yeah,
just like
I also
floating out.
That.
All I could do is focus on that little hair that's like just flapping out
like
of the side.
Well, her hair looked like it was straighter because it normally looks like she has like a really pretty blowout and it looked like it was like straightened.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like walking quickly. So the wind is catching it more.
Just
maybe,
one specific spot. No, that's exactly what it looked like. That's all I could look at.
Anyways, so she's like doing this checklist, which I'm not against a good checklist. I do feel it's hard to implement in that specific scenario, just like a hospital ER in general. Nowadays, maybe it would be easier because everything's like technological. You just do an update and it's going to be fucking different. I don't know. I understand the concept, But like, to me, an ER specifically is so like anything could walk in and you're going to tell me you have a one page checklist.
Yeah.
For everything you have to do for anything. Like this guy, you know, he's coughing up blood. He can't breathe. You know, remember when that guy came in and like chainsawed off his own foot? You're going to tell me both one checklist for both of those? Really? I don't know. It just doesn't track with me.
Standardization, the American way.
Yeah.
That's what fueled our industrial revolution, my friend. Checklists.
Yes. So she says to Owen, we're going to do this test to rule out cancer. And that sentence ruins her life for the rest of the episode. This family like cannot grasp what she's saying. And so she tells Christina, you need to page Teddy to have her do it. And Christina says, how about I don't do that? I'll do it myself instead, which is very Christina. So she does it. It's a tree. She's like, how the fuck is this real? She tells him it's a tree and that she can remove it. And then she like, they make you think that she convinces April to do the surgery with her without getting Teddy involved.
We are led to believe that. And that,
yeah,
that scene where
the reveal.
April yells, you falsify the checklist. And she goes, no, I streamlined the process.
That's you.
That's me. You, and you're
literally
you're April and I'm Christina. There could not have been more of a scene that kind of encapsulates the two of us when Kelsey's trying to be like, you did something wrong. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I made it more efficient.
I
you're
did
welcome.
This thing, but this is the reason that it's great. And I'm like, but no, it's
and then
not great.
We will circle back to this again, but the scene where she's solving all of Meredith's problem, I'm like, oh, yes, the spin
so
room.
Good.
Love this. This is great.
She's
so
amazing.
Anyways, continue.
So the scene where they reveal, like, Christina's so hyped and she's like, April, like, I'm so like glad we're going to do this surgery. Like, you're actually cool. Like, you're amazing. I have no sex superpowers too. I'm like, we're going to do
your
this.
Virgin
so
superpowers.
I needed this. Like, Teddy's keeping me off of cardio. I so needed this. Like, thank you so much. And then they get in. April's like, wow, it's almost like we're friends. And she's like, yeah, so what? And they get in there and Teddy and Richard are in there. And April's like, I needed this too. Yikes on bikes.
Yeah. It's a tough scene. Well, and then the guy is like, I came in here for a cough and then I'm like dying and then it's cancer and then it's blah, 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 blah. So like, I'm going to stick with Christina. If that's okay with you guys.
I applaud him for standing up for himself because he's also like, I went to multiple other doctors who told me it would go away and it, or I just to get over it. And then I came to the ER. This one tells me I had cancer. So funny. I also, when the kid is like, my dad doesn't have cancer. And April's like, I know that. And I didn't say he had. He goes, you are wrong. You're a bad doctor. Okay. Settle down.
Yeah.
So
I know that that's serious and they're trying to make that dramatic, but yeah, it was very comedic. It's like, my daddy doesn't have cancer. I never said he has cancer.
You're a bad doctor. And so, yeah, I just lost my train of thought. It's fine. Yeah, when the reveal moment of them walking in and Teddy and Weber being in there is like really good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think I'm on the guy's side if he's like, you know, after seeing so many doctors and like having no one either believe me or care enough to find an answer, like I would really appreciate if she could do the surgery because she like is the one that found the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Weber being like, she can, you know, if she has the capability, then she should do it. Like, I'm going to respect the patient's wishes. And Teddy's
well,
fucking
yeah.
mad about it.
Well, and yeah, here's the thing. This episode is not disproving Teddy's concerns and point. Yeah. In fact, it is reaffirming the concerns and the point. And when Teddy had said, oh, so we're just going to let her do this surgery. And Weber's like, I will deal with the consequences later. But right now, the patient shouldn't suffer.
It's about the patient, yeah.
Yeah. So good scene for Weber. Good move on his part. But when, like before this, when we're led to believe that April is like actually taking this quid pro quo, And she's like, look, Christina says, I will put in a good word with Hunt for you. And April's like, why would you do that? And Christina hits her with, it's a tree in a man's fucking lung. Like, what do you...
Why is no one getting this?
Yeah. So, yeah, she does the surgery. So she's pulling it out in April with this fucking protocol. Shut up. You gotta give it to... You got to destroy it. And Christina said, no, I'm keeping it because it survived in a hostile work environment.
And she's like
glares.
Looking at Teddy as she's saying it. Yeah. Subtle.
Not subtle.
Also, they totally have kept other stuff. They just have to get permission from pathology.
Yeah.
April can settle the fuck down.
Yeah.
So look at my new phone. It's pink.
Hey, look at that. But Christina was on... What?
I have to tell you this because I feel like a psychopath. I didn't realize how new this was. So when I bought it, I was like, I'm just going to go to Target and buy a case. And there weren't any cases out for 16s yet. Because I thought 16s came out like a month ago because I get confused when they announce it versus when
they
it comes
just,
out.
They just like two
so
weeks ago.
So I thought that it was... Because I didn't go to the store anticipating to get this. But they were like, oh, if you trade in your old phone, it will fully cover the 16. And I was like, well, then yeah, I'm going to do that. Like... You're going to tell me my monthly bill isn't going to go up at all? Like, I'm going to just get the new one.
Did you go to your, phone company store or to an Apple store?
We don't have an Apple store. I went to my phone store.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, I was like, I'm just going to go to Target. Because they only had, two cases in the store, and they were both, $50. And I was like, that's stupid. Respectfully, that's stupid. And so, yeah, they didn't have any at Target. So I ordered one on Amazon, and it was like, oh, it'll be there Saturday. And this was Thursday. I was like, I can make it. And then it got pushed back till today. So I've been raw dogging a brand new iPhone for 6 days.
That's bold.
I was very nervous.
With two kids.
And I was like, anyone who sees me is going to think I'm a psychopath. Because anytime I see someone without a case on their phone, I'm like, that person's a psychopath. That's insane.
Or rich.
And so I'm neither of those things. Maybe. I'm definitely not rich. I might be
a psychopath. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, so I feel fancy.
Yeah, I ordered... phone cases before our phones came in the mail, but this was the first time that I had done a full phone transition at home. I usually just go to the Apple store, but I made the final payment on my 14 Pro Max to keep it for work. And I also
you're going to say Marlo, and I was like, we need to have a conversation.
No. Yeah. I'm gonna, when she's 18, she'll have a 14 Pro Max waiting for her. And then we sold Jess's 13 Pro Max. So
yeah,
we
had
two 13. Paid off phones.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that. I love this phone so far.
The battery's already so much better. The battery life is incredible. Anyways, sorry, got off topic. I got excited because it's pink. I like that it was pink.
Oh, it looks purple from here, from this lighting.
It's kind
angle.
Of like a purpley pink. Also, I have a clear case on it, so it's like a weird reflection. But
mine is, it's called Desert Sand or something, but it's like a goldish almost.
Yeah, I can't tell that yours looks silver. We're doing great, guys. We're going to post this video of us showing each other our new phones. Welcome to Grey's Academy. Okay, sorry. I'm very tired. Okay. What are we talking about?
Christina? So anyways, so Christina ends up getting, she gets the tree out, and then Christina hits April with, it's not you, you're trash, shut up, whatever you're talking, the checklist,
you,
you're
like,
not gonna
no one likes you, I don't give a shit, no one likes you.
That's harsh.
Which I'm like, it might be true, but I'm like, you don't need to say, that's maybe an inside thought, Christina, that's something you can say to Meredith, that's not something you can say to everybody, it's an inside thought.
Yeah. So... Christina, the moral of the story is Christina doesn't do well with protocol, and April doesn't do well when someone else doesn't do well with protocol.
Christina does well with rules and protocol when what she wants aligns with them perfectly.
That's fair. Yeah.
Which is, I would say, most of the time. Obviously there's different times when that's not the case and she does what she wants. But I would say most of the time, because of her personality, she is more of a rule follower. But it's just when she's not getting to do the cool thing, she's gonna really fucking break a rule. So
yeah, basically in this season of Grey's, I do feel very Christina-y in my life, because mm-hmm. I also love the rules when there are rules that I like. You know, like at work, if there's a rule that I don't agree with, I'm not going to follow it. I am leaving a job where I have not made my labor budget a single time in my career.
Incredible.
At this company.
Well done.
And I have been the number one sales increase in the entire region. And my building was profitable.
So I proved care about the other thing.
Yeah. Labor is a guideline.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm on your side because fuck major corporations. Like, I don't really care. But
I mean, I would argue that my inability to meet labor revamped the system and showed that I can make more money. I would say that I'm trying to single-handedly fix capitalism by giving people more money.
I don't know that. It's fine. So, I mean, here's Christina's really good on the spin on this episode, right? Okay, so
love it.
Let's say Teddy is doing a disservice to me and the education I deserve. I had no choice but to take my learning into my own hands, and this is it. So I took the initiative and treated a patient and followed through to a successful outcome. Like, all of those things are
buzzwords.
Technically true.
Buzz, but they're very
like, look at me, I'm in an interview. If that doesn't show the qualities of a chief resident, if breaking the rules to do exactly what I want whenever I want to doesn't show the qualities of a chief resident, I don't know what does. Again, guys, I love Christina, but like, I'm just, she's so just like, I need title. But then I agree with you that I would love it if Owen didn't yell, but like, he's just always yelling. But the way he explains it to her is just so correct. Like, he says, it's not going to be you. And then Christina's like, you know how important this is. You're fucking up my career. And he says, it's more than just a resume boost. It's managing schedule, overseeing interns, pushing papers, working within the system. It's not you. It will kill you. You're a surgeon. Anything that keeps you from being a surgeon will hurt you and will make you crazy. We saw it today. You're not built for this job. You will hate it and you will resent it and you will fight against it until you fail. So just be a surgeon. Be what you are. Be excellent at what you are. So
he may have missed the mark on complimenting her beauty when she wanted her brain complimented, mm-hmm. but he didn't miss the mark with saying, just go fucking be excellent now. Do it.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you can do. Just go do it.
Yeah. Also, it's like putting someone in the position of chief resident who is like better at that managing those schedules is, if they do a good job, going to set her up for success, because that potentially that person is going to know and respect, you know, that she wants to be in cardio, and they're going to hopefully honor that and put her in that in those like learning scenarios more often. Versus her doing it, she's going to be doing less surgery. She's going to be doing less cardio. She's going to be talking to people more, which she does not like. So, you know, he's right. At the end of the day, he's right. It's not for her.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
In general, I like this episode for Christina, because we get to the resolution where she's like, okay, you know what? Maybe you are right. Also, I think that it's important for her to know that she isn't getting chief resident and why. And she did get the why.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit earlier, but I think we're about to change topics. So let's take a quick message from our regional sponsors, and we'll jump back in. Okay. We'll be right back. Yep.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And we are back. So I want to talk about the elevator scene with Alex and Christina. So it starts with Alex and Christina and ends with Christina and Lexi, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So that was the scene where Christina was, where Alex, he opened the conversation with chicks suck. They're the worst, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And Christina's like, I got 4 flights on this elevator. Like, I got time. Like, let's do this. Let's jump in. So that's when she tells him to take the job. Obviously, it could be duplicitous. We don't know.
She's also like, you're dead inside.
Yeah, yeah. You can't use feelings. Yeah, she's got feelings for you, but you have no feelings. You're dead inside. So then Lexi comes in. Okay, and then she's asking Christina. Oh, wait, no, wait. Before that, Meredith. Meredith is right there, right?
That's the episode? Meredith is before the elevator.
Yeah, yeah. So she's stressed about the interview, and she's like, well, so this is where the spin starts. This is funny.
Yeah, so good.
Meredith goes, what do I say about sleeping around in Europe? And that's when Christina says, your answer is you were absorbing other cultures. And Christina, Meredith follows up with, well, what about, you know, my mom maybe passing Alzheimer's to me? And Christina spins it again. I can appreciate the gift of life. And Meredith comes back with, well, what about that time I put a hand on a bomb inside of a body? Does it make me seem suicidal? And Christina goes, brave. No, so you're brave.
You're so brave.
And then the final one is, well, okay, how about I told a shooter to shoot me? And she said, well, that's when you change the subject.
Change the subject.
So yeah, Lexi gets in there.
Christina
and she's
is
asked,
basically Cyrus Bean.
She's just like flipping it. She's just rocking it. Absolutely crushing it. Lexi is like, I want to know why girls are obsessed with dudes with babies. Babies are great.
Yeah.
And then
Christina's.
Oh, go ahead.
Everybody's looking at the baby, and no one's looking at Mark except you. So let's just reel it in here.
Yeah. She wants him. She wants him bad. Lexi wants Mark. And then the final one that we get is April, and they're like, man, that virgin superpower thing you got is really working for me. I am so organized. And then betrayal. Knife in the back.
Betrayal.
Deception.
Lies.
Disgrace. Oh, was it the Lion King song?
I don't know this
No?
song.
The Deception song? No? Okay.
What are you talking about?
I think it's Lion King 1.5 or Lion King 2. There's like a...
Dig a tunnel, dig a tunnel. Dig a tunnel,
no,
dig,
not that
dig
one.
A tunnel. Best song in Disney. Obviously, why wasn't that on that soundtrack?
Guys, it is 2 hours past Kelsey's asleep time.
Yeah.
2.5, actually.
I'm not doing great. It's fine.
All right, final stretch. Let's do this. So, okay, we get, was there anything else with the Christina, Owen, April, Teddy storyline?
I don't super understand how Christina gets from where she is when she's mad in the interview to where she is at the end. I'm fine with it. She's right. I'm glad she made the journey. I just don't super see her motivation to how she got to like being fine with what Owen said. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's like, she's in the bar, you know, Alex tells her that, Lucy stole the job in Africa. And then April shows up and is like, boxes matter, rules are important, I killed somebody, blah. And then the next time we see them, that's when Christina's like, you know, you're not a bad doctor, you just like are better at other things, you're just like so great with this Africa thing, but like Meredith's gonna get it, so you should go to Africa or whatever. And that's when, and then Owen shows back up and then she's like, you're right, let's go have sex. And so I'm just like, I don't super see like the track to how she got there is all I'm saying. I agree. I think
she
she's
knew
right.
All along. She knew probably deep down. Also in the bar, who the hell is Callahan and where the hell is Joe?
Yeah, those are valid questions.
They're just naming, hey, get me a drink, Callahan. Who are you? Don't
I
even
was reading
go here.
On like the fun facts of the website that I use, it was like, Oh, Alex, because Callahan and the song that's playing is by a band called Callahan.
But where is Joe?
I don't know.
If Joe is gone from the show, I'm going to be so mad. I need closure. Did he sell Joe's bar? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, just really quick. So Sophia's in the hospital because Mark brings her to work. That opening scene, Callie's like, I need to break some crap. I need to do surgeries.
Yeah.
And then she starts to hear a baby crying. She's like, oh, all these babies make me miss Sophia.
They sound like Sophia.
This baby even sounds like Sophia. Wait, that is Sophia.
Also, and then Mark's just there. Like, this baby's like crack. This is a crack baby. And Mark goes, you should not say that. You should not call her that.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, that was so funny. And then she gets so excited about the motorcycle crash coming in. But when she says, Mark, I need you to physically lift this baby out of my arms.
Yeah. No, take the baby, physically lift her out of the arm. Yeah. Especially like right when you have to go back to work, like leave the baby for the first time. Ugh. Yeah.
And that cute little pink onesie, dead.
Mm, so true. And like the Mark wearing the baby.
Yeah.
And then we got to talk about the scene with Mark and Lexi later where
we
like,
should talk about this now.
Yeah. I mean, later. That happens later in the episode.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I understand.
I see. Yeah. So Lexi goes into a room and Mark is in there. It's like a dark room because Mark is in there because Sophie is asleep on him. And Lexi's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'll go so I don't wake her up. And he's like, no, you should hold her. He's like, no, she like looks really happy. I don't want to disturb her. And then she's like, I'm going to go. But like, I just want to let you know I'm really happy for you. And you seem really happy right now. And he says, I have everything I've always wanted. Almost. And they have just
the longest eye contact in history.
The most moment of moments that there ever have been.
Mm.
The tension is thick.
Yeah. It ain't thick. It's thack. With an A. It's thack.
I didn't like that. Please do not do it again.
Okay. It was thick. It's fine.
Thanks. Okay. Anyways, so yeah.
Yeah, that was a moment. That was like he wants her.
She wants him.
And she wants him. And she
but
wants
she's
his
with
baby.
Jackson. And Jackson's seeing this. Jackson knows.
Yeah, and she's not doing a good job at hiding it.
But the thing is, I think she does like Jackson.
Yeah.
She's Jackson's just caught in the middle, guy. You know? She's just like, damn, why couldn't that have worked out? But also like, this is nice. It's over here. This rich guy, this is nice.
Just going to brush our teeth together naked in a bathroom
together.
Yeah,
and she's so supportive. She's like giving him such a pep talk about like why he should be chief resident. Also, what were your thoughts at the beginning when he went in and was like, I'm quitting the trial?
Honestly, very confused. I didn't have any thoughts. I honestly didn't put any of it together until Hunt was like, yo, dude, so let's talk about this. Because this is flawless and you're going to win an award and this is going to be life-changing career shit. So what's the problem? And then I thought to myself, the Avery last name. This is like something you could win Harper Avery with.
Yeah.
How about a Carter Madison grant while we're at it?
I mean, I like the explanation, like, the way they use Owen to explain it.
And
I also
gives
really
him good
like
life
what
advice
he says.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where he says like, I can't find the exact wording, but it's like, I understand if you don't want to succeed on your name, but don't let it hold you back either. Something like
that.
So yeah, I really like that. And I think it's a nice moment. And I kind of liked Owen's like up and down and like in the interview when he's like, what would you do if you found out your colleague was pulling this bullshit?
And then Jackson's like, I would say it's okay, man. Do what you got to do.
I would say, have you thought about it? And I respect you.
He did. You know, the music that they played when he told Weber that he was not doing the trial was like very, very somber music, very dramatic and somber music. So I respect it. if that's the choice that we're being led to believe and they're helping us read between the lines, then yeah, okay, fine, I get it. I just also think maybe it should have been more of a conversation with Weber leading up to it. You don't go from zero to I'm off the clinical trial. You got to have, there's some bases we stepped in that we should have touched here. So, but yeah, Jackson is, he's clearly wanting to be with Lexi. Lexi's clearly wanting both in some, like she's torn. But he sees her staring and he's like, oh, you're staring at Sloane again, huh? You're like, you're leering, you're making eyes at him again. I see it. Mm-hmm. But Mark, a good episode for Mark. You know, he had that moment where he goes to Derek and he's like, hey, look at my baby. And he's like baby talking. And he's like, shut up, Derek. You're gonna talk like this to your baby too. And then, you know, when he says, I've been jealous of you your entire life, like, dude, why? You're fine.
Well, Derek did have a mom that actually liked him.
That's fair.
And yeah, he's fine now, but I don't think that like growing up, it was a different situation.
And then that scene where Callie and Arizona walk up at the end, he's like, oh, I fed her and changed her diaper. And let me tell you, it was the prettiest little poop that's ever existed in the human history of mankind.
Yeah, I love my babies, but I don't know that I've ever said anything like that.
Especially at that newborn phase. It comes yeah, out and it's like,
not cute.
It's like black tar. It's like, just like, ugh.
Well, she's not that new yet, but.
Oh,
like she's because, you know, she was.
I'm confused on timeline.
Remember, she was in the NICU for 3 months.
Yeah, but that time doesn't count, right? That's just like basically you're still in the womb.
Oh. But I mean, they have like something called adjusted age. But I feel like she's been home for at least a couple episodes.
I think my adjusted
that
age
poop
is like
ain't black
six.
That long. Oh, probably days.
6 days. I got black tar poop coming out of my butt right now. That's why I stocked up on all the toilet paper.
That's why you bought all the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Full circle. Okay. What was I looking for specifically? I was looking for a specific quote. Oh, well, I can't find it. Okay, so...
Probably just touch on Derek and Meredith and then we can wrap up.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, I was annoyed with Derek right off the bat in this episode because the first conversation we get with him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started, Carmen. I was so fucking mad.
Good moms make Halloween costumes. Derek, shut your pie hole.
Excuse me, misogyny.
Yeah.
Excuse me, patriarch. Excuse me. Fuck right off, Derek.
Yeah, let's especially ring that last one in a little bit more specifically.
Fuck right off, Derek.
I just want to say already that we are two Halloweens deep with Marlo. I can count on zero fingers how many Halloween costumes Jessica's handmade. And I want you to know that she is literally the dopest mom.
Yeah, also, I'm like, first of all, it's wrong. You don't have to be making Halloween costumes to be a good mom. Also, you can make Halloween costumes and not be a good mom. Also, you can be a good mom and make Halloween costumes. But, like,
yeah,
it's just so...
There's
like,
a lot of choices here.
Like, I don't even... I mean, this. It's just awful. Why would you say that, Derek? Fuck off. God, I hate him. Oh, yeah. I was also immediately annoyed. I'm glad you brought that up so I didn't have to. And then,
I was annoyed right off the bat at that.
Yeah. I did, you know, Meredith's nervous about the interview for the social worker. And Derek's like, ha, 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 ha. And Meredith's like, bitch, like, you're good with people. Like, respect, like, just respect that she's nervous.
Well, podcast burp. He does at that one point when she says, dude, like, stop saying it's gonna be fine, and he's like, okay,
yeah, I love that.
It's just
everything's gonna go how it's gonna go.
I like that. Also, I wish I would have wrote this down. I had said a quote, I like made up a quote randomly the other day, and I was like, I think it was somebody somewhere has an opinion about something. And that was my quote. I was like, that's so wise and so vague and so perfect.
I don't know that it's wise, but it's correct.
It's very wise. Someone somewhere has an opinion about something.
It's you.
But the social worker interview starts rough, and she brings it home.
Well, I don't feel like it really starts rough. I just feel like Meredith feels like it starts rough.
Maybe. I think it started rough because automatically the social worker was, the interviewer was like, so tell me about, you had a mom who's a surgeon, right? Your parent was a surgeon. Yeah. How'd that work out for you? And she kind of starts to be like, oh yeah, it was totally rough. But like, oh wait, no, I want to do things different. I'm going to bake, by the way. Did I mention I bake all the time?
But I'm also just like wildly different. Like the Ellis and Thatcher were not together.
No, totally. Very different.
And also Ellis didn't want a kid. Like Meredith actively is like seeking out a child. Like obviously it's so different. I mean, I do agree she doesn't do the greatest job articulating it. But then she does come back because, you know, Zola had to have a hernia operation and Meredith and Derek were kind of like lingering outside watching it and everything is fine. And then when the social worker asks Meredith about Zola, she like brags on how she did in the surgery. And she's like, oh, like I'm doing a bad job. You wanted me to like say that she's really cute. And the social worker's like, good moms are proud of their babies. And like, you just like told me something that you were proud of her for. So like, you are doing good. You are good at this, and just reassures her. So I like that.
Yeah. Cause it's a good point. As long as you know, and love, you know where your kid's at, you love them. Yeah. You're proud of them. Like, okay. Let that shine through however you feel mostly.
I will say this
you.
Is a quote that I see a lot, and I feel like for the most part is true. Bad parents don't stop and worry about being bad parents. So if you're worrying, like, am I like being a good parent? You already care enough to not be a bad parent. Like that does not to say that anyone's like a perfect parent, because no one is. But like,
speak for yourself.
If you care enough not to be shitty, then you probably care more than like actual shitty parents.
Yeah. Also, I was being facetious.
I've been watching that monster show on Netflix.
What is that?
It's the story about the Menendez brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not watching that. That's too much.
The acting is incredible, which is why I watched it. But yeah, it's rough. It's rough stuff.
First off, I was being sarcastic booty. I am not perfect.
We all know, but thank you for clarifying that you also know.
Yeah. For legal reasons, I'm not perfect. But yeah, I think, man, I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but like, there's just so many things that I want to not replicate as a parent that I'm just, I think that automatic,
like,
I really
agree.
The bar
is so low. If I am like, if I don't do X, Y, and Z, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Well, there's also that statistic, like as a man, there's that statistic where it's like, it's a 90% decrease in millennial men versus boomer men know how to, or have changed a diaper, something like that. So yeah, just, you know, men showing up, trying to break trauma cycles, I think is important.
Yeah.
And women too. So, which we see with Meredith trying to break a trauma cycle. So let's, is there anything else that we're missing in this episode? I don't think so. I think we've kind of like rigmaroled into
like
everything.
We've got it all. Let me.
Henry does get into the trial.
Yeah.
You forgot to mention that. So he gets his job.
No,
he asked for the divorce.
But it's okay.
No, no. But you didn't say he actually gets into the trial. You
Yeah,
okay,
because
maybe,
that's
maybe
when Weber's
that.
Like, oh,
that's
you,
right.
I
You're
love
right.
an underdog.
You're right. You're right. You're right. My bad. And I gave a prediction.
Christina, April, Teddy. Richard. Was Bailey in this episode like at all?
I don't remember.
I don't feel like she was. Okay, so yeah, let's rate it and then we'll throw out some predictions.
I'm gonna give this one a 3.9.
I was thinking 3.8, so we're right there together. Like, a good episode, good stuff happening, clearly a lot of like setting up, but yeah, good stuff, just kind of waiting to see where it all leads in the in the finale.
Yeah. Were there
Bailey is there, because Bailey was on with Lebo.
That's right. Are there any Patreon questions for today?
Yes. I know one of them. Okay. Do you think this episode proves Teddy's point about Christina and her arrogance? Medium.
I do think yes. I think that this is proving her point more.
My issue with it is, like, this for me, the stakes aren't high enough for it to, like, be comparable to the thing with, like, Callie. I'm like, it's basically a biopsy.
Yeah, but it's still proving the point that she's reckless and she thinks she knows everything.
Yeah. What do you think Owen will do with Alex's confession?
I don't have even the slightest I don't even have a concept of a thought on that.
Do you think he'll tell anybody?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think Owen is going to want to tell someone. Mm-hmm. But I think he would confront Meredith before. Mm-hmm. My prediction is he's going to confront Meredith, and when she tells him that all she did was switch one thing, he might be like, okay, well, is the greater good worth blowing up the entire trial? No. And then let it go to his grave. I don't know.
Was it right for Lucy to steal Alex's job?
No!
Thanks.
Don't snake people's jobs.
Quick and easy. We kind of touched on this, like, why Jackson stepped away from the trial, but we did kind of think it was weird that he, like, was keeping it a secret what his reason was. Like, he could have just said it. At least to Hunt. Like, if you don't want to say it to Weber, fine. But, like, it feels weird not to tell Owen.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have had an honest conversation. I think he actually probably could have had an honest conversation with Weber, too.
Yeah.
Because you could have been like, take my name off the trial, but I still really want to work on this.
Mm-hmm. Should Christina have received a real consequence?
Yes. She broke protocol.
We're still kind of waiting on one of those. We haven't seen one in a while for her. Do you think
Izzy never got anything for her LVAD cutting. So, like, so whatever.
True. Do you think Lucy took Alex's job out of revenge, or did she really want to do that job specifically?
I think that she had a show coming up where she had to.
Well, they were already setting up the Baylor job, right? So she's obviously like looking outside of her position in Seattle.
Yeah.
For her specific job, like Alex is peds, she's more like on the Addison track of like, birth, delivery, like fetal kind of situations.
Right, right.
So to me, it doesn't necessarily make as much sense as the clinic. But I don't know. I feel like it's a little revenge based.
It's probably revenge based.
And then if you were April, would you have told Teddy or gone rogue with Christina?
That's tough.
I don't know that I would have done either. I would have been like, do what the fuck you want. I'm staying out of it.
I think I probably would have gone with Christina because it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission.
It's not better, Carmen. It's easier. The saying is it's easier, not easier, better.
Easier and better are the same thing in this scenario. Easier is always better, and better is always easier.
Do you have any updates on Chief Resident? No, you still think it's April. What do you think will happen with Meredith and Alex's friendship?
It's going to be fine. It's, Meredith did screw up. So, like, I'm not saying that two wrongs make a right, but Alex would never have been in this position to keep her secret if she would have just told someone. They're going to be fine.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Do we have any more predictions? Mark and Lexi and Jackson. What was your prediction for that?
Lexi is going to kiss Mark, or Mark is going to kiss Lexi in the finale.
Okay.
And Jackson's gonna see it.
Do you have any other, like, outlandish finale predictions?
This is the season 7 finale of The Gunshot. I predict...
Another one of these guys.
Let's see. Let's think about this. It's a one episode finale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be heavy on the medicine. I think it's going to be heavy on the drama.
Okay.
And I think there will be a cliffhanger. And someone's going to die. Someone's going to die.
Who? Like a character we know or like a patient?
I think a character we know is going to die.
Okay.
But it can't be a car crash. It's too soon. I think they've teased us just enough at Callie dying that they're like, okay, all right. They think they've recovered. Someone's really going to die.
Okay. Pick a name.
I think Derek, they're married now. Derek has to die.
Okay.
Or, no. No, you know, I think Adele. I think Adele or Derek.
Okay.
Yeah. Something bad's going to happen, though.
Something bad's going to happen. It's a Grey's season finale.
I predict it's like in Rocky 3 where the reporter goes up to Mr. T playing the boxer named Clubber Lang. And they go, do you have any predictions for he goes, sorry.
Stroke.
Do you have any predictions for the fight? And Mr. T just looks at the camera and he goes, pain.
Oh.
My prediction for the season 7 finale is the same. It's just pain. This is going to be pain.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. I know we just did this like 2 episodes ago, but like, what was the season 3 finale?
Was it Dylan?
No, that was not a finale.
Oh. Was it? Oh, the wedding. Christina and Burke.
Because I'm trying to be like, has any season finale other than 4 been like happy things? 4 was Meredith and Derek getting back together. Everything else has been not happy.
Well, then, I mean, if it is happy, maybe it's just Lexi and Mark are happy. But then, you know, Jackson's sad. So,
yeah.
Addison was sad when Derek and Meredith got back together. Or Rose was. Well, I don't really know. It's a little bit unclear.
Rose. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Anything else to add? Anything else to say?
No. I don't.
Okay, cool.
But the next time I record, no, I won't even have a new bed next time I record. Almost. It gets delivered on the 11th. I'm excited.
Yay! Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening for 3 whole years. You guys are awesome. And if you haven't been listening the whole 3 years time, you have listened to 3 years worth of podcasts. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Please continue to share us and tell all the people about us and leave us ratings and reviews that are good. And also join our Patreon and also email graysacademypod@gmail.com. And also continue to be wonderful, beautiful people that you are. And we love you so much. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Cheers to 3 years. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much for everything, and we'll see you all in the next one.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.